Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm going to really start today by telling you all a little bit about my own social media story and becoming an expert. And I want to just say before I do that, that I'm also doing a lot of social media work for Division 42. So we are currently working on revamping our website and developing a Facebook page, a Twitter account, a LinkedIn presence, and YouTube. So we're going to be bringing a lot of the principles that we're talking about today into branding Division 42 as the for psychologists in independent practice, and making this a very rich and interactive forum for visitors and for the psychologists who are members. So I want to say that since we're not going to see much of that today. So my social media story starts really with Twitter. When I started my private practice in 2008 in the summer, I worked very hard on building a website. And about 7-8 months later, I decided that I wanted to create a Twitter account. And I wasn't really sure whether anyone would really care what a psychologist had to say on Twitter, but I decided that I was going to be very careful, very professional, and just start it and see what happened. And what happened was, over the course of a year, I started to develop really interesting and lively connections with not only other psychologists, but consumers who were interested in what I had to say. And I think one of the points I'm going to get to later, and I think Deb mentioned this too, is that you have to have a voice. I didn't really know what my voice was when I started. I knew I had some professional interests. I knew I was very interested in technology and ethics. I worked with sexual minority clients. I worked around issues of anxiety. But I wasn't really sure how I was going to turn that into a Twitter presence that might be compelling to other people. And so what happened was, I would start asking questions of other people who were following me on Twitter. You know, what do you think about a therapist Googling their patients? What do people think about that? And I started having really interesting conversations, both with consumers and with other mental health providers, about what our ideas were about some of these issues. And what surprised me was how quickly I was able to just get into these very kind of juicy gray areas and have really meaningful conversations, even though I was only posting 140 characters. So that was a big surprise to me, just how quickly it could become a very rich and real form of engagement. And at the same time, I started developing my blog and finding my voice. And I started writing about a lot of the questions that I was having. And I was having questions such as, is it acceptable to accept a friend request from your client on Facebook? Does this introduce confidentiality issues or dual relationship issues? What do you do if somebody wants to write to you on these services? You know, is this an exchange that needs to now be documented in the chart? And I found myself asking a lot of questions that it didn't feel like a lot of people were really asking. And I wasn't finding a lot of information to provide me with answers to these questions. So I would start blogging, and then I would use Twitter as a way to draw traffic to my blog. And I would post questions and say, hey, I just posted this blog post. And, one of the things that's already been mentioned is how important it is to engage with people. I didn't host comments on my blog because I had some legal and ethical concerns about hosting an online forum of people who might be consumers or who might think that we were in a particular kind of relationship if they were visitors to my blog. But I used Twitter as an adjunct where I could discuss on a site that I wasn't hosting people's reactions to things I wrote. So this was really interesting and started to raise awareness of who I was as a professional to other people. And I found that people started bringing things to me, which I think is a sign that you're building some credibility and expertise when the people you're interacting with start writing to you and saying, hey, did you see this? This looks like an item of interest to you. And so that was a key moment for me when I realized I was beginning to really create a brand. I don't think I started this out with a very clear sense of what it meant to create a brand, other than that I didn't want to talk about my personal life in my professional account. But I was realizing that people were beginning, I was developing a reputation as someone who was interested in these issues, was knowledgeable, was thoughtful, and people were bringing them to me to discuss them with me. About a year after I started my Twitter account, I had been reading a lot of ethics journal articles, and I had actually watched a video of Jeff Barnett speaking about the internet and social media for clinicians. And a lot of people were talking about how important it is to use informed consent, during informed consent, to let our clients know how we conduct ourselves. Some of the questions that were coming up were, again, is it okay for us to Google our patients and incorporate that into treatment? Is it okay to connect with them on social media sites? And everybody kept saying that it would be really useful if we included in our policies the positions we take on these issues. But I couldn't find anyone who was actually doing that. So I decided that I was going to try to write my own policy. And rather than just do this secretly in my office, I decided I was also going to use social media as a way to bounce these ideas off of other clinicians and get feedback on my policy. So I posted a blog post and said, you know, I'm working on a social media policy. This will eventually be available to download, and I'll distribute it to my clients. It's a work in progress, and I'm soliciting feedback. I'm really curious, what do people think? Is this clear? Is there anything that needs to be better explained? Do people disagree with some of the positions I'm taking? And you're welcome to email me or respond on Twitter and let's discuss it. I would really like some help as I develop this. So I did something that's not very common for psychologists, but which is very common in online culture, which was I was being very transparent about what I was doing. I was making it really clear, I haven't figured it all out. This is something that I'm trying to think through, and, you know, here's where I am, and something's going to come out of this. And I got a lot of responses, and I got a lot of feedback, and I got some criticism. Some people didn't agree with some of the positions I was taking, and I found it all immensely useful, and I felt like it helped me really create a stronger document, perhaps explaining more clearly why I took some of the positions I did that some clinicians didn't agree with. And then I used social media to also promote the policy. Once it was finished, I told people, and this was a tactic that I learned from listening to other marketing experts, because marketing is not an area that I felt that I was skilled in, that giving something away is one nice way to let people know who you are and help broadcast who you are and reach a lot of people. So I posted it on social media sites and invited people to borrow it, to adapt it, to share it, but not to sell it, because I didn't want anyone to make money off of my work. But I wanted it to be a donation and for people to actually use if it would enhance their practice. And that really brought a lot more attention to me and my practice and my thinking. And again, I think this was a very good branding trick that I was able to do, half unwittingly, because I wasn't an expert, but I was really letting people know who I am and bringing traffic to myself. So I use that story as just an example of one way that you can actually use social media to help people know who you are and what you stand for and what your service is. I want to just kind of mention some branding essentials. It's really important that you find your voice. You may not know what your voice is. Like me, starting out, my blog posts started in one way. I think I wrote some tips for beating procrastination. And over time, my blog developed into two sections. One was a consumer section, which is about demystifying psychotherapy for the consumer. And then one was a clinician session, where I started addressing and compiling all of these blog posts I had about managing social media and some of the ethical dilemmas that would come up. Establish authority. You really need to know what you're talking about. It helps to do some research and to really back up what you're talking about, and people should really feel like they can trust you as an expert. Be consistent. And when I talk about consistency, that doesn't mean you can't change your mind, but people should know what it is you do. I see a lot of psychologists who are on the internet and they seem really like generalists and they're interested in everything. I think the example of people sending me information about social media ethics shows that they have a consistent sense of what I care about and what interests me, that they are now not just taking information to me, but bringing it to me, taking from me, but bringing information to me. So you want people to think of you and have a clear sense of who you are and what you're interested in. And that also helps you have a richer relationship with the people who you're connecting with on social media. And when I say be authentic, I also mean really focus on the things that you care about. You know, a lot of people get on social media and feel like it's a chore to really post things that they think they should be talking about. And I think if you really focus on the things that you care about, things that are real for you, things that you kind of think about as you're falling asleep at night, or the conversations you want to be having with your colleagues, this really comes through. I use a couple of examples of some psychologists who I think are doing really great jobs at social media branding. The first one is Baby Shrink, Dr. Heather Wittenberg. She's also a Division 42 member. I actually met her through Twitter. So it's true, you actually can develop relationships with people through social media. She's extremely active on social media. I think you might see, I think Angel may have a clip of her Twitter stream. She's someone who's really mastered Twitter. She knows how to engage with people. She knows how to provide information. You get the sense that she's there and active and interested. She's using all of the branding principles that I mentioned. She's engaged. She's established authority. She has a clear voice. You know what she does when you think of her. You know the kind of information she'd be interested in hearing, and you know what you would get from her. And you can see at the top of her page, she's got a link to her Facebook, a link to her Twitter, the little birdie, and the envelope if you want to send her an email. I think she's got a fantastic site. I wish my website was this snazzy. But you get a really good feel from her. So I think this is a great example of someone who's using social media well. In a branding sense. Marlene Mayhew is another psychologist. Her website's not quite as snazzy as Dr. Wittenberg's site, but Marlene Mayhew has really established herself as an expert in telemental health. She's been doing this for a long time. She's not extremely active on Twitter, but you see her being very, very active on LinkedIn. If you follow any of her forums on LinkedIn, she's incredibly engaged in the conversations with people on the issues that she's an expert in. And that's a really important thing. You may not like Twitter, you may not like Facebook. There may be a different social media resource that really fits your temperament and your style. And I think for Marlene, LinkedIn is really her forum. She hosts forums and asks questions and then provides lots of useful information and really establishes her own expertise and credibility on those forums. So that's another example of somebody using social media well to establish herself and really cement her brand image for other people, for other psychologists. Dr. Susan Giglio. She's a licensed psychologist and a business consultant, and she consults with other psychologists with marketing. And one of her biggest tools is video. She makes a lot of short videos. She has a very relaxed conversational style. People really get a sense that they know who she is. She's not pretentious or super polished. She's just a real person who knows a lot about how to market yourself. And she's also very engaged on Twitter. She's someone else who I discovered on Twitter and have a connection with as well. Here's a little clip. I'm not going to play the clip, but a picture of one of her YouTube videos. You see that you can like it, or you can share it, or you can subscribe to her video feed. So you see, there's really different ways. It's no one. I hear people sometimes say you have to be on one site, or this is the best site. Really, many different sites can be a vehicle for getting your message across, and you have to find the one that really works for you. And you may have some skills that don't translate well to another site. These are my three simple rules for social media engagement. Someone else might have another good list or have three different rules or five or 10, but I think that the biggest things that you want to really focus on are search. Have you made it easy for people to find you? You might be writing the most beautiful things, the most relevant things, but if people can't search for it and find it, they just won't find you. So there are some tips for this. I'm not going to get into search engine optimization, but I provide a resource at the end for people looking for consultation around that. And you really want to make sure that if you're writing about a particular topic, that people are going to be able to find it, so it's not just disappearing out there. Sharing. Have you made it easy for people to share your information with others? And here again, you could use Twitter by sharing links. You'll see a lot of people on their blogs have little share buttons, so they can send your content to Twitter or to Facebook or to another site or through email. You want to make sure that the information you're providing travels and that other people get it, not just the ones who happened upon it. And then interacting is a really big rule of social media engagement. I see a lot of big kind of stars or people who are really providing amazing information who are on Twitter, but it's just a one-way broadcast. They're just sending their content out. They're not responding to questions. They're not asking questions. They're not even looking to see if anyone has asked them anything. And I think that you really want to show people that you're present and engaged and open. I think this is a really important part of social media that sometimes gets missed by people who are producing great content. You really want to make sure that engagement is a big part of that. Here's a little picture of, this is a particular widget called Add This that allows people to look at your posts and maybe send it through Facebook or Twitter or mail or LinkedIn. So this is one way people are sharing. The last piece I'm going to just mention is don't forget ethics. You know, it's easy for many of us to get onto social media sites and get really excited. Suddenly we're able to broadcast all this stuff and people are paying attention. But don't forget that the same ethical principles that apply to us off of the internet also apply to our activities on the internet. So you want to be aware of confidentiality. You definitely don't want to share anything about any of the clients who you're working with in any of your postings or blog postings or in interviews if you're contacted by journalists. Sometimes you'll be asked to talk about a case, and you might want to prepare for how you would respond to that if you're asked to do that. Be aware that you might be creating multiple roles if you accept friend requests or contact requests on sites. We want to avoid any type of multiple roles that could lead to a loss of objectivity on our part or a client being exploited. Be aware that social networking sites like Yelp and other review sites are creating the ability for clients to leave testimonials and that it is unethical to solicit testimonials from current clients. And also be aware that any communication you do with clients on social networking sites is discoverable. So, you know, it may become a part of the legal record and it may be a non-secure site, and it's something to be aware of if your clients are contacting you on those sites. And then lastly, we touched briefly on issues such as, you know, should you follow, should you Google a client, should you read their social media profiles? And I think this does get back to issues of informed consent. And if you're doing that, do clients know that this is part of your practice? Are they aware of it? And that's something that can be discussed at the beginning of treatment if that's a practice you engage in. So I provided some resources. Joe Babonais of Uncommon Practices helps clinicians boost their search engine optimization to get referrals from web searches. And his website is www.uncommonpractices.com. I had shown you Susan Gerlio's page. She is a business consultant and marketer, and she's at http://drsusangiurleo.com. Sure. That's http://drsusangiurleo.com. On my blog, which is at www.drkcolmes.com, I have an introduction to media psychology for bloggers and tweeters. And you're welcome to email me if you have trouble finding that. I'm at drkcolmes@hushmail.com. And there's a fantastic article by Nancy Magera, Mary Alvord, Jana Martin, and Doug Haldeman called In the Public Eye, the Ethical Practice of Media Psychology. And I use that as a resource for my blog post and applied a lot of those principles to how we conduct ourselves on social media sites. I'm happy to send any of these resources to you or links if you didn't get them. And you can feel free to grab my card after the session. So, thank you.